On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Super Tuesday was big, but the rumble goes on in the GOP. Mitt Romney got six states in the grand prize, Ohio, but it was tough and a squeaker in the Buckeye State. Here he was last night. Long road, he said.
It's been a long road getting to Super Tuesday, let me be honest. And my opponents have worked very hard.
Rick Santorum won Oklahoma, Tennessee, and North Dakota and says he's still in it to win it.
We have won in the West, the Midwest, and the South, and we're ready to win across this country.
And Newt Gingrich got his Georgia, still in it, too.
There are lots of bunny rabbits to run through. I'm the tortoise. I just take one step at a time.
This hour on Point after Super Tuesday, and the battle still on for the heart of the GOP. You can join the conversation. Is it time to call it for Mitt Romney? Should Rick Santorum hang in? What's the heart of the fight here inside the GOP? Is the party lining up to win the White House? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. With us today from Washington is Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. She has been all over this race. Karen, it's great to have you here with us today.
Oh, great to be with you, Tom.
With us from Arlington, Virginia is Whit Ayers, Republican pollster and strategist. He's done polling for Florida Senator Marco Rubio and Tennessee Senators Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker. He worked with John Huntsman, Super PAC. He's president of North Star Opinion Research. Whit Ayers, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Hey, Tom. Good to be back with you.
And from Athens, Georgia, we're joined by Cynthia Tucker, Pulitzer Prize-winning former columnist and editorial board member of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. She is a visiting professor now at the University of Georgia's Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication. Cynthia, welcome back. Wonderful to have you.
Good to be here, Tom.
Whit, let me come first to you, and we'll come to Mitt Romney. He took Ohio last night. It was by a whisker, but he got it, and he got his half-dozen wins. But here we see Rick Santorum, and we see Newt Gingrich still in it. What are the possibilities at this point, given the delegate count and giving the calendar wit for Rick Santorum? What could he still do here?
It's become a huge uphill climb at this point for Rick Santorum, Tom. Mitt Romney has won 14 of the 23 contests so far, if you count the Missouri primary that didn't award any delegates and give that to Santorum. Santorum's won 7, Gingrich has won 2. So Romney has won twice as many contests as Santorum. He's won more than twice as many delegates. He has somewhere north of 400 delegates now. Santorum has somewhere in the neighborhood of 165. Yesterday, Romney won more than twice the percent of delegates so far. 56% of the delegates so far have gone to Romney. 24% have gone to Santorum. Right now, Rick Santorum would have to win somewhere on the order of 2/3 of the remaining delegates in order to win the nomination. And that includes states like Connecticut, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, where he's not likely to do very well. So the hill is a very high hill to climb for Rick Santorum right now. Romney had a squeaker in Ohio.
One-point win there.
Exactly. But you can't just say that somehow this has been close. Romney has not only won twice as many states, but by any conventional measure, he has dominated the process. The only reason it still looks close is because the Republican Party changed the rules so that these early primaries allocate delegates proportionally rather than winner-take-all like in prior years. If this were the rules, if this were run under the rules of the prior year, Mitt Romney would have pretty well put this away by now.
Well, I guess there's that. There's also the ambivalence that we see among Republicans in exit polls. I mean, people still not locking in with a big enthusiasm. And then there's Rick Santorum, very happy to hold the hands of conservatives and go. Here he was last night. This was in Steubenville, Ohio, saying he's committed to staying in the race.
Tonight, it's clear. It's clear. We've won races all over this country against the odds. When they thought, oh, okay, he's finally finished, we keep coming back. We are in this thing. We are in this thing not because I so badly want to be the most powerful man in this country. It's because I want so badly to return the power to you in this country.
Karen Temple, you've been covering this. Any other year, any other presidential primary year, what Ayer says with the old rules, and this would have been put away by now. And yet, there's Rick Santorum, never mind Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul for the moment, but there's Rick Santorum saying he's still very much in it, waltzing away with Tennessee yesterday, and asserting last night, even before that very late final Ohio count came in, he is in this thing. How do you read what he's doing in Mitt Romney's task now with Santorum still standing there beside him, Karen?
Well, I agree with everything Whit said, that, you know, this proportional allocation of delegates, which sounds very, very technical. What it means is that, you know, in almost every race, almost everybody comes out with something, which gives them kind of a rationale for continuing to go on to the next race, because they know they will get at least a few delegates. On top of that, what we've had this year are these sort of billionaire sugar daddies who are contributing to these super PACs for both Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich, which is almost a financial life support system. It used to be when a candidate ran out of money, he got out of the race. But I do think that starting in April, the rules change, and a lot of these big states are going to come in with systems that are much closer to winner take all. And I think that's going to change the dynamic somewhat. I also think that a lot of people in the Republican Party, not just the leadership, but the rank and file, are beginning to realize that this process, this long process, has become very corrosive for whoever their ultimate nominee is going to be. And that all this negative advertising is, especially as, you know, assuming this is Mitt Romney, has so damaged his image, particularly with those independent voters that they're going to need in November, that there is going to be much more of a desire to get this over with so that they can move on to the general.
I want to talk about those favorability ratings. Cynthia Tucker, you're in Georgia, Newt Gingrich's home state, where he took it and took it going away last night, but it was the only place that he took it. I want to ask you what that victory is about and what may be on Newt's mind here. Here he was talking to supporters in Atlanta last night, saying he's the one to take on Barack Obama.
Tomorrow will bring another chapter in the race for the nomination. But it's more than a chapter in the race for the nomination. It's a chapter in a fight for the soul of the Republican Party. It's a chapter in the fight for the very nature of America. It's a chapter in defining who we are as a people. And let me be very clear. I believe that I am the one candidate who has the ability to debate Barack Obama decisively this fall.
Whether that will ever happen, another question entirely, pretty long shot. But Cynthia Tucker, how do you read this Georgia vote? I mean, it's just one, but it's a good-sized state. Is this just Georgia loyally standing by its man? You know, Newt, it's the home state for Newt. How do you read it?
I certainly wouldn't overread this victory for Newt in Georgia, because I think this is his, pretty much his last stand. But I have
no
to say,
no Southern sweep coming for Newt Gingrich?
Well, he is certainly poised to do well in Mississippi and Alabama, but even so, he's such a long shot for getting enough delegates to have the nomination that the race is effectively over for him as a practical matter. The problem is Newt isn't going anywhere. He made that very clear last night, and there is no reason to believe establishment Republicans, as Whit and Karen have both suggested, are ready for this to be over, for the party to coalesce behind the likely nominee. Clearly, that would be Mitt Romney. But Newt is all about Newt. He gave a very interesting speech last night, which was all about Newt Gingrich and Newt's resentments of those who are trying to push him out of the race. I don't think that there is very much that the Republican establishment, such as it is, can do to pressure Newt to leave. So I think he's going to continue to stay in, to be a thorn in the side, and to do more damage to Rick Santorum, quite frankly. than anyone else.
Who cannot
Rick
stand.
Rick Santorum would like to be remain as the alternative to Mitt Romney. But as long as Newt Gingrich is there, he's going to draw off some of those very conservative votes.
Whit, what do you think? When do Rick and Newt leave the scene, or do they ever? Is there a point at which that somehow the GOP has the leverage to say, please stand aside, guys? Or is the GOP not united enough to deliver that message to them effectively?
They'll step aside when they decide it's time to step aside. It's their call, and no one is going to pressure them into it. There's no question the Republican establishment is ready for this to be over. I suspect there are a number of folks rethinking this decision to go to proportional allocation in primaries before April the 1st. But Karen made a very good point that after April the 1st, many of these states will go to winner-take-all. You might want to keep your eye on April the 24th, where Connecticut, Delaware, New York, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island all will hold primaries. And Mitt Romney is likely to do very well in all five of those. That might be the day when it becomes almost mathematically impossible for Rick Santorum to win the nomination.
Maybe that's the point, but as you say, it's up to them. I guess reputation has been the thing that's driven people out in the past. But this year, it's kind of everybody for themselves in there, and with enough daylight between Republicans themselves about the best path to be on, that this thing, for now, still going on. Whit Ayers, please stand by in Arlington, Virginia. Karen Tumulty in Washington and Cynthia Tucker in Athens, Georgia. We're talking about the verdict of Super Tuesday, a split decision, and more battle to come for the GOP. You can join us. Is this still a race for the GOP nomination or not? Could Santorum still get in Romney's way? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking today about the verdict of Super Tuesday, the split decision, more battle to come for the GOP. We're asking where this race is taking the party, taking the fall's big contest, the main event, the general election, for the White House. Whit Ayers joins us today. He's worked with all kinds of Republicans. Marco Rubio, Lamar Alexander, Bob Corker, worked with John Huntsman's super PAC. He's president of North Star Opinion Research, knows this party inside and out. Karen Tumulty's with us, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. And Cynthia Tucker, out of Athens, Georgia, looking at Newt Gingrich territory and beyond, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for a long time there for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can join the conversation today. Is this race still on? Is it time for Rick to step aside? Is it time for Newt to step aside? Will they? Is Mitt the man? And if it's Romney, how will he stack up against President Obama after this long fight? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Last night at his victory party, Mitt Romney said it's been a tough primary season.
It's been a long road getting to Super Tuesday. Let me be honest. And my opponents have worked very hard. I want to congratulate Newt Gingrich on a good night in Georgia, and Rick Santorum on his good night, and Ron Paul for his steadfast commitment to our Constitution and his strong support almost everywhere you go. He's got good followers. Thanks, you guys. Nice races.
Mitt Romney saying, I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to get this nomination, and gracious in his victory there. Rick Santorum pugnacious in his close finish behind, just 1 point behind Romney in Ohio, taking away Tennessee and really going after the front runner last night on the health care that he brought about in Massachusetts, and talking about recent revelations that as recently as 2009, Mitt Romney was pushing that model as the national model, something he has more recently said he certainly does not and maybe did not ever want to do. Here's Santorum last night.
It's one thing to defend a mandated top-down government-run healthcare program that you imposed on the people of your state. It's another thing to recommend and encourage the President of the United States to impose the same thing on the American people. And it's another thing yet to go out and tell the American public that you didn't do it.
Rick Santorum tough on Mitt Romney without specifically naming him last night. Ken in Tallinn, Connecticut's calling. Hi, Ken, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are things today?
Pretty well. What do you think?
I think that one of the questions no one's bringing up is what happens. It seems like the inevitable is Mitt Romney, and if he has a very tough fight going against Barack Obama, would it behoove him to consider Rick Santorum as a running mate? And do you think what do you think would happen? I'm not sure Rick Santorum has much of a political future once he's done with this race.
I'll take
my answer out of the air.
Thank you, Ken. Whit, let me bring it first to you. Anyway, on God's green earth, that Mitt Romney, after this battle, would put Rick Santorum in that VP slot.
One of the most important benefits of having a vice president is that presumably putting them on the ticket brings their home state with them. The last time Rick Santorum was on the ballot in Pennsylvania, he lost as an incumbent U.S. senator by 18 percentage points, 59-41%. That's not a very strong record to commend him to the vice presidential slot.
So he can't bring the state, but many people say, and you can see it in the numbers, he's getting that very conservative voter and that lower demographic voter that Mitt Romney appears to be having trouble with. Is that a kind of state that he might bring?
There's no question that Rick has done better with the more conservative, more downscale voters, but there are a lot of good Republican politicians who could bring that same appeal to more downscale, more conservative, more blue-collar voters who might also be more electorally potent in their own state.
Karen Tumulty, we saw a lot of drama around this last time when John McCain reached out very late in the process for Sarah Palin up in Alaska. It's early, but maybe not too early. What is the talk around Mitt Romney and a vice presidential running mate?
Well, I think that, there's been a lot of speculation, for instance, that he might pick a Hispanic. Marco Rubio seems to be at the top of everybody's the favorite list of speculation. But, I'm not even sure the campaign has begun to focus on this very much yet. I'd like to go back, though, to one point that Ken made where he said he doesn't think that Rick Santorum has much of a future. I think that for both him and for Newt Gingrich, the future is going to be one of the things that they have to think about as they decide when and how to get out of this race. Rick Santorum could, in fact, have a very rosy future, a la Mike Huckabee, maybe have his own television show, become a much sought-after speaker on the conservative circuit. But a lot of that is going to be determined by how he gets out of the race. If he is seen as the person who destroys Mitt Romney's chances in the general, I think his market value out there, both monetarily and intellectually, is going to be a lot lower.
So there may be a clock ticking on his future opportunities, given what damage is seen. On the other hand, you can hear the conservatives in the party, Karen, saying, hang in there. You hear a lot of ardent go Rick sentiment out there, even as Mitt Romney continues to rack up the delegates.
But it's going to get – Rick Santorum has – another problem for him that we haven't really brought up is he's got sort of gas in the tank in terms of a financial benefactor, but he doesn't have the horsepower. And so what we saw last night, he failed to qualify for the ballot in Virginia.
Yep.
He failed to qualify in a lot of parts of Ohio. It's really hard to see his campaign organization, say, going to California and putting up the kind of organization that you really have to have.
Let's go to Tom in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Tom, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
As I have watched all of the primaries unfold so far this year, the thing that strikes me the most, and I think it has a very long-term implication for the party in November, is the fact that if you look at all of the Republican votes that have been tallied to date, more people have voted against Romney than have voted for him. So my concern is that as the campaign continues to go on, and as many have said, the issues tend to go more and more social, I think you'll find more and more people, especially independents, moving away from the Republicans. When you get to the convention in late August, the Republican Party is going to put forward someone who didn't capture the majority of the votes and who is scared away independents.
Well, we'll see by the end of the voting season, but clearly there's that tension there. Let us hold that for a moment, Tom, and get one more. Ira in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ira, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, my question is, Santorum has been so negative against Romney. If he doesn't win, if Romney wins, how is Santorum going to endorse him? What is he going to say? I don't like this guy's views, but I endorse him anyway. I'm just wondering, how is he going to do that?
That is a good question, Aaron. I appreciate it. Whit Ayers, what about this issue of all the tensions we have seen within the GOP in this primary season? and how they do or do not get resolved when it comes to election time, Whit?
I'd ask you to reflect back to the 2008 Democratic primary race, which was about as bitter and long as any primary race we've had in American history. We had Barack Obama making dismissive comments about Hillary Clinton. You're likable enough, mm-hmm, Hillary. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd look at those two and think there's no way in the world they'd ever speak to each other again.
He didn't exactly call her a liar, which Rick Santorum essentially did about Mitt Romney last night. Untrustworthy.
He said some pretty tough things about her, and she's implied some pretty mm-hmm. tough things about him with mm-hmm. the 3 a.m. phone call ad.
Yep. Who do you
and
want?
Yet mm-hmm. they not only joined forces to get Barack Obama elected, she joined his administration. So I would suggest to your listeners not to make too much of some of the comments made in the very heat of a primary battle. A lot of those people will come together around the ultimate nominee because they really, really want to beat Barack Obama.
Cynthia Tucker, what do you make of this parallel? The Romney camp itself often refers to Barack Obama's long road to the Democratic nomination in 2008. Are these parallel dynamics, what we saw between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama within the 08 Democratic Party, and what we're seeing in this big field, bigger field, in the GOP primary season this year, Cynthia? Parallel or not?
The Republican establishment likes to make the comparison because the Democratic nominee, obviously, was the victor in the general election. So Republicans would like to believe that their race will turn out the same way, but there are substantial differences. One you just pointed out, there have been many more harshly negative comments back and forth in this Republican primary than there ever were in the Democratic primary in 08. But perhaps the biggest difference is the tenor of the advertising. Between the ads that the candidates themselves have run and the ads that the super PACs supporting them have run, there have been some vicious slicing ads in the GOP primary of the sort that we never saw in 2008. One of the harshest ads I remember in 2008 was Hillary Clinton's 3 a.m. phone call ad,
yeah,
where
tough.
She asked whether Obama would be ready for the 3 a.m. phone call. But that, you know, that was a sweet peck on the cheek to Barack Obama compared to some of the vicious ads we've seen in the GOP primary. And I think those will be difficult for some of the opponents, some of Mitt Romney's rivals, to set aside.
Karen Tumulty, what about the binding the wounds challenge here when the dust settles for the GOP? I mean, it is interesting. Everybody's worried about the super PACs and what their influence might be right across the board. But here within the GOP, those big guns have been turned on one another. Whit Ayers looks back to 08, but I think others see a kind of deeper ideological character conflict within the GOP this time, maybe than the Democrats had in 08. What do you think, Karen?
You know, I think I have to agree with Cynthia on this one. I don't think you can compare, a line tossed off during a debate to the millions of dollars of advertising that we've seen and the evidence that it's different. Our pollsters a few weeks ago pulled some old numbers for me, and we did not see during the 2008 campaign Barack Obama's negatives rising, particularly among independents, the way that we have seen Mitt Romney's rise. And I do think that is a result of the attacks that his opponents have been waging on him. But all that said, you know, nothing is going to bind those wounds more quickly and more solidly than the entire party's desire to defeat Barack Obama. And if you also look in the exit polls, you know, all these people who are not so enamored with Mitt Romney, in a number of states, the top concern of all voters has been, can he beat Barack Obama?
In a number of states, but interestingly, not all states. Let's go to Anchorage, Alaska, and Warren. Warren, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
That is the problem with the conservative this year, this time around, because they're looking at the future that if they don't get President Obama out of office, then they just won't have a viable candidate to run against the the candidates after Barack Obama. And so you have these candidates today that is just not qualified to be president. So anybody will do is they could call Mitt Romney Barack-like, but I call him Obama-white. And as long as you can put a white candidate in there, then conservatives feel that they have a future in taking over the country again.
Hey, Warren, let's listen to Mitt Romney's words himself. This is last night at his victory rally after that half dozen wins. Here's how he described looking ahead to a general election battle against Barack Obama.
Now, President Obama seems to believe he's unchecked by the Constitution. He's unresponsive to the will of our people. He operates by command instead of by consensus. In a second term, he'd be unrestrained by the demands of reelection. And if there's one thing we cannot afford, it's 4 years of Barack Obama with no one to answer to.
Cynthia Tucker, how do you see, if it's Mitt Romney, and we see, you know, it's a hard road for him. There's been a lot of talk about that, strengthening the GOP field, maybe strengthening him, but there are bruises here as well. The message that's emerging from Romney as he battles through this particular year, Cynthia, how do you think it goes up against the sitting president?
Well, I noted two things about Romney's speech last night. One was his pivot back to trying to seem the inevitable general election candidate because he aimed his guns at squarely at Barack Obama. The other thing I noted was how the pleasantries he tossed off to his rivals. And maybe he has been listening to criticism within the party that says, you know, the GOP candidates have spent too much time beating up each other. He will emerge from this long primary battle with some bruises, no doubt about it. Karen has already referenced the polls that show his negatives have risen. Having said that, I think he will prove to be a formidable candidate in the general election. I think that Barack Obama's campaign would be crazy to assume it will be easygoing for them. I think he'll be formidable. The economy will still weigh heavily on Barack Obama. And when Mitt Romney talks about the economy and his business background, that's when he's at his best. He will still have to, not only will he have to try to overcome some of the right-wing positions he's taken in the primary, but he will also have to find a way to become more comfortable talking about his upbringing as a child of privilege and the fact that he has had a rather easy time of it in life financially. There's nothing wrong with that, but he seems uncomfortable talking about that, and he's going to have to find a way to become more comfortable with that and a way to relate better to the average voter.
Of course, he's built a lot on wherever he started. He's built quite a personal fortune on his own effort there. Karen Tumulty, I mean, you've seen, like everybody else, George Will saying in recent days is suggesting it is just not likely to happen for the GOP winning the White House this year, as much as the Republicans would like it, saying, turn your attention, GOP, to Capitol Hill, win the House, win the Senate. Is that sentiment just George Will's alone, or is there a kind of, oh, my gosh, we're blowing it here before we even get on the launch pad, Karen?
No, you do hear some of this sort of talk as well on the Hill, and this will probably grow louder as everybody starts fighting over resources over the next months. But, you know, there is a long time between now and November. And, you know, one thing that I think we haven't mentioned here that we probably should, of all of Mitt Romney's rivals, I think the one whose blessing and whose benediction he's going to need the very most is the one we haven't mentioned, Ron Paul. And, you know, 4 years ago, Ron Paul was such a, you know, fringe figure of the party that he had to have his own convention in Minnesota because the Republicans didn't invite him to theirs. Mm-hmm. I think this time around, you are going to see him get a very prominent primetime speaking spot and maybe some things in the platform because they are going to need the energy of the people that Ron Paul is bringing into this process
That's going to be interesting to watch as Mitt Romney, you know, talks so tough on military action potentially against Iran. Of course, the opposite of Ron Paul's view. No victories for Ron Paul last night, but he's still very much, well, Ron Paul. Cynthia Tucker, Karen Tumulty, Whit Ayers, please stand by. We're talking about the verdict of Super Tuesday. Listeners, you can join us. What do you read in the outcome? 800-423-TALK. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the verdict of Super Tuesday. Split decision there. More battle to come for the GOP. We're asking whether this race is taking the party, where it's taking the party, and where it's taking the fall's big contest, the main event. Whoever, maybe Mitt Romney, against the sitting president, Barack Obama. You can join the conversation. If it's Romney, how will he stack up against Obama after this long fight? What are we learning about Mitt in this battle? What are we learning about money and super PACs? What are we learning about the battle for the heart of the GOP as we go primary by primary? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Whit Ayers is with us, Republican pollster and strategist, has worked with a lot of people in campaigns over the years. Karen Tumbledy's here, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. Cynthia Tucker, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist, longtime for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, now at the University of Georgia. Let's go to Christy in Omaha, Nebraska. Christy, you're on the air.
Thank you. My question is, I'm an independent. I lean very conservative on a lot of issues, so I believe in the Constitution.
Yeah.
And my question is, we have four Republican candidates, and when I listen to the program, which I do a lot, when we talk about this, we talk about three of them. And my question one is, why are we not talking about Ron Paul? And two, why are we not talking about the issues that are constitutional issues and the problems that the other three candidates are bringing up that are against the Constitution? Why are we not discussing what the Constitution says and how these three that seem to be on the program quite often, Santorum, Romney, and Gingrich, are going against things that are constitutional, not only as Obama, but the three of them are.
Christy, we've got the perspective. Let me ask you, if I may. I mean, we've talked with Ron Paul. We've talked about Ron Paul. I think there'd be more talk about Ron Paul today if he had won something somewhere. He headed out for the Alaska caucus, didn't quite get it there. What does it say to you, Christy, in return, that he's not winning primaries, that he didn't win one yesterday? What does that mean?
Well, to me, what it says is we have a country that does not know what the Constitution says. We have too many. I'm in the mid-30 age. I'm the Generation X age.
Yep.
And I think that too many of us do not understand the Constitution. Too many of us have not read the Constitution. And we don't understand. We tend to go off of our feelings. Oh, this feels good. This sounds good. Instead of what does the Constitution say we are allowed to do and we are not allowed to do?
Whit Ayers says that if Mitt Romney gets the nomination, it would be very important to have Ron Paul at his side or on the way to that. Would you, as a Ron Paul supporter, be inclined to support Mitt Romney if Congressman Paul suggested that?
I would be inclined to support Romney if Congressman Paul suggested it. I don't think that I'm going to go off of what Ron Paul says anyway. I want to go off of what I know. The reason I bring Ron Paul up is because he tends to talk about the Constitution more often and what is constitutional and what is not constitutional.
Christy, we've got it right there, and I appreciate your call. Of course, President Obama is sort of glancingly referring to the Constitution, or maybe anyway, declaration of war yesterday. While the voting was going on Super Tuesday, he very deliberately put a press conference together and wanted to talk about Iran. And one of the things he said was, there's been a lot of tough talk from Republican candidates about this, but if they really want war with Iran, they ought to say so. Here's the president yesterday as the voting went on.
The one thing that we have not done is we haven't launched a war. If some of these folks think that it's time to launch a war, they should say so. And they should explain to the American people exactly why they would do that and what the consequences would be. Everything else is just talk.
Whit Ayers, there has been a lot of hot talk. Of course, the AIPAC meeting in Washington in the last few days, the president was tough there too, but he's also sort of drawn this line and said, let's go carefully here. What does it mean that there's been so much tough talk about Iran from the GOP candidates? Is there kind of competition out to outfierce one another there? What do you think it would mean for U.S. policy if one of them ends up in the White House a year from now?
I don't think there's been competition to outfierce each other. I think it's more a matter of trying to figure out the wisest course of action. The idea of Iran with a nuclear weapon is a truly frightening prospect. not only to Israel directly, but to peace throughout the Middle East. And so I don't know that there's been that much politics played with that. I think it's more a matter of trying to figure out the best way to stop a rogue regime from getting a nuclear weapon, which would pose a very direct and dire threat to Israel.
Karen Tumulty, we've got Kathleen Parker giving some advice to Mitt Romney today. And among the things she says, you know, be more natural, be yourself, relax, but steer away from comments like Iran will have nukes if Obama wins, suggesting that doesn't sound responsible. I don't know. What about this issue and how it's playing in the campaign, Karen?
Well, there is this, you know, all the candidates have sort of mouthed this line that somehow Obama has been, you know, easy on Iran and tolerant of Iran. But there really hasn't been a lot of talk about, you know, in terms of very specifics, what the options are here and, you know, what precisely they would do.
Mitt Romney would a lot rather talk about the economy. That's his strong suit. Here he was earlier this week on Monday saying people should go for him because of his business background.
The economy is what I do. It's what I know. It's what I've done. I haven't just read about it. I haven't just debated about it. I haven't just talked about it in subcommittees. I've actually done it.
I've actually done the economy, says Mitt Romney. Ivan in Nashville, Tennessee. What do you think, Ivan? What do you see emerging here?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, the thing about it is I've been watching closely the primaries, and two things. The one thing is I don't think that Mitt Romney can ever separate the likability factor of him getting more to the lower socioeconomic kind of class of people that want to get to know a president, sort of like George Bush and Obama were able to do during the general election. I think he struggled with that throughout the entire campaign. And number two, I just think that he hasn't really elucidated on foreign and economic policies with exact specificity other than repealing certain things that President Obama has established in the White House. So unless he does that concise and specific, we're not going to really see a real surge to support him just because people really don't know what he wants to change economically. So I'm really interested to see if when he gets closer towards the general election, if he does win the nomination, what he's going to do to be a little bit more specific with his economic plan.
Ivan, let us pick it up. And Whittier, let me bring it to you. I mean, there's a couple of edges here to Romney's experience. On the one hand, he has indeed spent a lot of time in business, and he's done that for himself and his company very successfully. On the other hand, there's concern about what that means. Ivan raises the likability factor, the issue of appeal to, you know, other parts of the sort of economic demographic here. I mean, in Georgia, I'm looking at exit polls saying that, you know, Romney, he lost pretty substantially there, but he won a majority of those with advanced college degrees, of voters whose family income was over $200,000. What about this issue about who appeals to Mitt Romney among the Republican electorate, Whit?
There's no question that Mitt Romney has done better among the better educated and the more upscale voters. But as we look to the fall, Tom, let's not lose sight of the big picture. Most reelection campaigns are referenda on the incumbent. And Barack Obama is going to have a very difficult time winning a referendum on his record. We still have 60% of the people thinking we're off on the wrong track. We have 8%+ unemployment at the moment. His fiscal stewardship has been breathtakingly irresponsible with trillion-dollar deficits as far as the eye can see. His signature accomplishments, the trillion-dollar stimulus package and Obamacare health care overhaul, are so unpopular even he doesn't talk about them anymore. And you have only 48% of the people who approve of the job he's done. Both Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan and their reelections ended up in the job approval in the mid to upper 50s. So this president has a huge hurdle to overcome. His people are very smart. I mean, they understand that he can't win a referendum on his record. Their only hope is to make Mitt Romney an unacceptable alternative.
I mean, we'll see.
And they're going to set about to trash him enough so that he is unacceptable.
Right. I mean, we'll see about that. But what do you make then of the poll? I think this week it was NBC Wall Street Journal poll, head-to-head, Obama-Romney. Obama taking it by, I forget what it was, 5-6 points at this point in the campaign season, Whit.
Right.
Well,
you've got Barack Obama sitting back with no primary opponent, looking at this tough, tough Republican race, taking his own shots at Romney. You've got Romney fending off three rivals in what we've all discussed has been a bitter and aggressive race. Mm. And even with that, with Romney at what appears to be his lowest ebb, the average of most polls right now has Obama with no more than a 4 or 5 point lead, essentially a margin of error lead. Mm-hmm. He should be up by 10 points right now. And he's not. And that suggests what Cynthia says is true. This is likely to be a very, very close election in the fall.
Let's go to John in Nashville, Tennessee. John, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. I actually disagree with the president not being able to run against his record, because right now you've got candidates that are able to put out super PACs and messages outside of the loop. But once you get down to the brass of it and you're debating one-on-one, I find it hard for them to defend against what they say is an unpopular health care bill, but if you look at it closely and you actually explain it, it is very helpful for the economy, and a lot of the policies are going to be well, and a lot of Republicans will tell you that, even though they allow their ideology to get in the way. Foreign policy is a lot better than it was in the previous administration. He's drilling more in this country than we've done in decades. There's a lot of success in his candidacy that he's going to be able to put down on facts. And I'm just curious how the candidate's going to be able to defend themselves against facts. And that's just something that I think that a lot of people are not taking into account. But when it gets into a debate, you're going to see that the American people, unless they vote on ideology and not their consciousness, it's going to be difficult to go against what he has done since he's been in office. And, to say that he cannot win on his record, look at his record. Look at foreign policy. Look at energy policy. Look at the economy going from disaster to slowly improving, but getting to a point where it's going to be a lot better than it was when it came in.
John, we take your point. Of course, there's a lot of room for interpretation when it comes to record, but you make the case that President Obama has one he can run on. Cynthia Tucker, when it comes to the issue battle on the other side of this primary rumble, what do you see shaping up as the most potent points of contention at this point? The economy has improved some. Barack Obama's got, we've still got a big Middle East problem there, but there's the Osama bin Laden success that he's had. What do you see as being front and center finally, Cynthia?
It will all come down to the economy, as it usually does, but let's talk about a couple of the other issues. Foreign policy. I think that Republicans will have a very difficult time. The eventual nominee, likely Mitt Romney, arguing that President Obama has not done well on national security. He will argue that, but I think he will have a difficult time persuading voters on that point. Generally, that is an area where Republicans run circles around Democrats. I don't think that will be the case in 2012. Healthcare. I think that Mitt Romney will have a difficult time arguing against the Affordable Health Care Act. He has certainly done so.
Because of the Santorum critique that he was the draftsman for, the architect?
Exactly. He has supported, not only did he support the individual mandate in Massachusetts, but there is video showing that he said on national television that he thought the individual mandate was a good thing for the nation. So I think those two issues are not ones where Mitt Romney will find he does well against Barack Obama. His best issue will be the economy. It will be very difficult for a sitting president, even though the unemployment rate is coming down, it will still likely be above 8% on Election Day. That is a high hurdle for any sitting president.
And President Obama likely to be facing that. People say it could get down to 7%, but after the election. Chris in Middlebury, Connecticut. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm disappointed it's not going to be Gingrich. I think Gingrich would have been able to make much more cogent arguments. He's got a doctorate in history and environmental policies, and history, of course, is the great laboratory of societies and policy. And
Mitt Romney's no slouch, I guess, though. I mean, what do you think it'll be like when it's Mitt Romney, if it's Mitt Romney versus Obama in that debate setting, Chris?
Well, I think Romney's going to have a difficult time about Obama. Well, as a conservative, of course, my views are that the Democrat economic policies are ridiculous, but you have a good talk show host type personality who can make them sound good. And I think I think Romney's going to have difficulty as a debater. He won't come across as smooth as Obama. And that kind of smoothness, I think, instills confidence in people. I'm not sure Romney's going to be able to do that. Also, the fact that he had his Romney care in Massachusetts is going to weaken his ability to attack the infringements on freedom and the economic destruction that the Obamacare is going to wreak when it finally kicks in starting next year.
Chris, our time is short here, but let me take that to it. I appreciate your call very much. What about Rick Santorum's, cry? We heard it last night that Obama's health care moves are his biggest vulnerability, he said, and Mitt Romney cannot exploit that because of the similarities between the national and the state plans at this point. And Rick Santorum says he's just not going to be able to carry that water because of his own history. What about that one? Is that important?
I just disagree. I think he has drawn sharp distinctions between what happened in Massachusetts, at least what he proposed in Massachusetts, and what Obamacare has done. But you've got to look at the public opinion on Obamacare at this point. The president never persuaded at least half the country that the direction he wanted to go was right. Half the country thinks Obamacare is a bad idea. Overwhelming majorities of Americans think Obamacare will increase their health care costs, increase their health insurance premiums, increase their taxes, increase the deficit, and simultaneously hurt the quality of care. That is not a record that an incumbent can run on successfully.
Karen, do you think Mitt Romney will be in a position to fiercely attack that, or is Rick Santorum right? He's going to be too closely tied to it to really do that.
Well, the fact that he says, the first line out of his mouth is, I will repeal it, is, I think, probably the best argument he's got going. And I also think, by the way, that people have because the debates have mattered so much during this Republican primary mm-hmm. season, people are forgetting there will only be three of them in the general election.
But those will be three big ones, and the whole country watching exactly what chemistry Mitt Romney brings to that arena, if indeed it's him at the end of this long, long road. Karen Tumbledy, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. We know you've put a lot of work in on this. We appreciate your being with us today. Thanks so much, Karen.
Thank you, Tom.
Whit Ayers with North Star Opinion Research. Whit, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Tom.
Cynthia Tucker in Athens, Georgia. Thanks so much, Cynthia.
It's great to be here, Tom.
This is On Point.